Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Bryce and welcome to the very first episode of Fresh From The Scene. Before this podcast really gets started, please could you share it on social media because that will really help us out, and don't forget to leave a review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to it on. You can find us on Twitter at FFTScene, that's FFTScene, or if you're lazy, at Rubes. Now enough about me, here's the podcast.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's guest is the ever lovely Alex Vallejo. Did I get it right?
Yeah, you got it right.
I got it right. For those of you who are unaware, I'm going to let him, you know, just sort of describe Vallejo in as many words as he can.
Oh, okay. Well, it's like proggy instrumental rock sort of thing, very guitar-centric, loads of really nice melodies, some nice riffs. And it's going to be an emotional ride with some banging tunes.
Some banging tunes. Yeah, you've got an EP coming out soon, haven't you?
Yeah, coming out on the 12th or the 11th.
The 12th or the 11th. Is that whichever day's the Friday?
It's the 12th of November. There we go. And it's a Tuesday.
And it's a Tuesday.
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot.
Unconventional release date.
Oh, yeah. It's the only day I was able to get like a launch gig as well. Because we thought, let's make it bigger. Like, we could release it now if we wanted to. But if we get a launch gig sorted, then more people would come to the gig. Because they'd be like, oh, well, if we release it now, they'd be like, oh, okay, we've already heard the stuff, so there's not really much point in going. But, you know, we have a couple of live surprises as well. We have a couple of covers that we're throwing in. Maybe a little, you know, part that we do a bit of a jam with, you know, the best, you know, rock instrumental boys from Huddersfield. I have the lovely Josh Fielding, who has produced the entire EP, and he's absolutely amazing. He's put so much effort into this actual gig, you know, and I have barely put any. He's sorted most of it out. Yeah, bless him. And John Wallace, amazing drummer, plays for Kill the Silence, and another amazing band. You know, Kieran Bones, you know, plays for Elicorn, loves the ambient stuff, really tight player. And Pete Reitrek, I think that's how you pronounce his surname. He's just a god at guitar.
Just a god.
Yeah, he's absolutely insane. So I have a really all-star team.
A really all-star team, including a god, and they're playing at Parish on Tuesday, the 12th of November.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Better get down for that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, tell me about the writing process, because obviously, you know, it's an instrumental EP. So, obviously, the writing process is very different to being limited to just, like, the verse, chorus style. You know, tell me about how you decided to write it.
So, the way I go about it is, you know, a little idea pops up, and it might be, you know, a chord sequence or a certain rhythmic pattern, and then I just really go on from there. So, in a tune, Clearing Paths, I came up with a chord sequence. And I'm like, okay, so those chords are nice, but how can we just develop it further? And I'm like, oh, so what about the da-da-dun, da-da-dun, da-da-dun? That sort of like rhythmic pattern going, and then that became the verse. I'm like, well, okay, for this tune, I kind of wanted like a poppy verse chorus sort of structure. So yeah, and then I wrote like a chorus, but obviously the guitar is playing all the melodies.
Yeah.
And because you need to be a little bit showy as well, there's like a little solo section, and then I gave the bassist Josh another solo section just for him, because there's already too much guitar in the entire EP. I thought give the bass a bit of spotlight, and yeah, but usually it's just where the song takes you, I guess. Like before, it's really what the song calls for, and if you change sections, you know, rapidly and the transitions aren't smooth, but it's what the song wants, then, you know, go for it. You know, when it comes to structure and stuff, it's just, as long as it's like a sort of journey in a sense, then I'll be happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, you do get quite a lot of strange transitions, let's say, in prog music, don't you?
Oh, you do, but they're mostly so smooth.
Mostly so smooth.
Yeah, like smooth transitions really get me. Like, I love I love System of a Down. They're one of my favorite bands. Yeah, they're just one of the best at coming up with like really smooth transitions in between sections. So yeah, I look to them a lot.
Is there anyone else who you'd say you look up to? With writing music, at least.
Oh, with writing, Pliny. Pliny's a big inspiration. You know, really big fan of him. Intervals as well. You know, but also like the older rock bands. You know, like I'm a big Zeppelin fan.
Yeah.
You know, I love Black Sabbath to bits. But I was a massive, well, still am a massive Guns N' Roses fan. And I think you know, everyone knows Slash.
Everyone knows Slash.
Yeah, he was like my guitar idol when I was like 10. Just started playing guitar and like, you know, like, oh my God, who is this man playing those sweet, sweet melodies? Yeah, and then, you know, you kind of grow out and you grow back in. And then it's like, you know, In Flames and stuff. But I'm a massive Childish Gambino fan as well.
Mm.
And I love Ariana Grande. So, you know, Ariana Grande, to be fair, really inspires my writing a lot.
Okay.
Like, with just, like, really catchy melodies that are kind of not run-of-the-mill.
Mm,
you know,
yeah.
She's quite unique in a sense. And, yeah, oh, and Guthrie Govan, he is absolutely fantastic. His album, Rotter Cakes, was, like, the only album I listened to for, like, 4 months straight. I couldn't get enough of it. And, yeah, it's really them. But I think most of the inspiration comes from the people I have around me.
The people you've got around you, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, coming to uni, I learned loads from the uni itself, but what I learned a lot from as well are, you know, peers like Josh and my, you know, best friend Xander and Rue, and how they go about things and how they go about writing. Because they will actually explain it to you.
Yeah.
You know, and be like, okay, you can just go like this and do the modulations like that. I'll be like, okay, fair enough. So I learned a lot from them as well.
Hmm. So would you say it's good to have a decent, like, support network in inverted brackets there?
Oh, definitely. You need it. You absolutely need it, especially as an independent artist, you know. I'm not a very big techie guy, you know. I'm just about grasping how to use the Line 6 Helix. So I get Josh to pretty much do all the techie stuff for me. And he's willing, which is great. And, you know, if he says he's a fan of the tunes. And, yeah, so it's good to have people around you, especially when you need people, you know, to help you with live sets, help you organize out. Yeah, you need it.
Yeah. Obviously, when you were just talking about the writing process, you said, like, you gave Josh, like, a bass solo and stuff. So how much freedom would you say that you gave, like, the other instrumentalists on this EP, like, in terms of writing stuff? Was it all you writing the stuff and then they play it? Or was it, you know, you said, okay, this is what I'm doing in this bit. Why don't you come up with something that you can play for this bit?
Usually I would write their parts in, like, the verse sections and the chorus sections, and, like, just the parts that all the, you know, the parts that are needed, I would write. But when it comes to solos and stuff, they have complete free reign.
Mm.
They can do whatever they want. And, you know, even in the other parts, they have complete free reign, as long as they abide to the guidelines. You know, like, here are your guidelines. This is what I kind of want you to do, but, you know, feel free to throw whatever you want in. But it's important as well, you know. It makes the piece of music even more unique, because
yeah,
you have such a mixture of talent in there with their own ideas, and, like, everyone has a completely different approach to any piece of music, and they go any way about it. Like, if you look at any, like, composing challenges on YouTube, 5 composers with, like, the same piece of music and how they adapt it and move it about and stuff, you know. Everyone has a different approach.
I mean, I guess it just stops everything from sounding the same these days.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, in this whole guitar-centric world, you need to be as creative as you are technically capable, you know. Because there are so many amazing guitarists out there, so many far better than I, but they don't write out, you know, they don't write anything, and they're not as creative to get, like, to the forefront.
Yeah.
That's why you have people like Pliny there, because he's amazing. Polyphia, another band that are just insane. Intervals as well. Animals as Leaders, you know, they're just crazy. You know, really, really nice new stuff. And yeah, I think that's what you need to be, you know, coming up. Like, Dan James Griffin is another guitarist. Like, he's a bit more of an Instagram guitarist. And he's absolutely insane with, like, the two-handed tapping stuff, and he's released so many cool albums, and he's, like, I think he's really pushing boundaries as well, especially now mixing it with like DJing stuff he's doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, you need to be creative.
So, you know, how long have you been playing guitar then?
About 11 years now.
Oh, wow.
But I started out with classical guitar.
Yeah, so I did too.
You know, it's a good shout. I think it's important to start with a classical guitar, especially for your left hand, get it nice and strong. Or if not, you know, play an acoustic or classical beside the electric guitar. But I didn't really pick up a pick until I was about 15. You know, and whenever I played electric guitar before, then I would still use my fingers, you know, and finger pick and stuff, which, you know, isn't a bad thing, but with the stuff I'm doing, you'll need a pick.
Yeah. You'd have to have some very quick finger, like, picking abilities to play some of the stuff that I've heard from those teasers that you keep releasing.
I guess. I'm mainly more of a legato guy, though.
Yeah.
My picking hand isn't as strong as my left hand, but... Hey, you know, some stuff comes out of it, and I think it sounds okay. So.
Yeah, it's sounding pretty sick from what I've heard so far.
Yeah, I'm excited. To be fair, it only sounds sick because of Josh making it. He's making the production so large, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for this to hit off.
I'd definitely say that, like, production can make or break a record. Like, I've heard some really great stuff that also sounded shit because of, you know, it hadn't been produced, like, to the extent that it should have been. Or, like, I've also heard some really shit stuff, but it was masked by the production because of how well it had been produced.
Oh yeah, of course. There's, you know, nowadays I think it's important to have really good tight, you know, a really good tight mix, and you know, production's all sorted, because people care about the quality of, you know, what something sounds like. You know, if it sounds bad, even though if it's a good tune, it still sounds bad. So I think, you know, being a musician, you need to be techie, you know. You need to be as proficient with all the tech stuff as you are with your own instrument, and sadly, I'm not there at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's bit by bit, though.
I mean, I guess, you know, like, if you've got, you know, access to a good producer, then you can, you know, you don't have to be as good at the techie stuff.
You don't, but, you know, you still would want to learn. Just so as well, like, during the whole process, Josh would ask me questions about what I thought about, like, how the guitar sounded and blah, 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 and all the frequency stuff. And I'm like, at the beginning, I'm like, dude, I don't know, it sounds bright, is that a thing? And then bit by bit, you know, he kind of took me along. He's like, okay, all this stuff. I'm like, yep, okay, get it now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, like, what he wants to make sure is that whilst he's producing it, it is your music that he's producing, and it's how you want it to sound.
Yeah, he's very good at that. He knows what the songs are calling for. That's a thing. A lot of producers and sound engineers strive for the best sound, and they go for a criteria of, like, does it have this, does it have that? And he's just like, well, what does a song need?
Yeah.
And he nails it, really. He knows, he's a good boy.
So obviously, like, a lot of the teasers that you've been putting out have got some rather interesting imagery, let's say.
You know? Yeah.
Where did that come from?
A mate of mine on Instagram, he's called That's Is, but his name's Jack. He does a lot of, like, videography stuff, and does a lot of vids for, like, Create Evolve Destroy. He did all, like, the visuals for them. I'm like, hey, I need to put some teasers out, but I don't just want to put me playing guitar. I don't want some meme-y stuff, you know. And he's like, yep, got you sorted. I sent him the album cover, the EP cover. I sent him a logo and the t-shirt design. And then he just went for it, really. And I think he's done a great job, you know, because, like, they're endearing, they're kind of funny, but at the end of the day, they get you to listen to the teaser.
Yeah, because you want to see what's going on with the creative stuff, like where it's going and stuff, like,
yeah, exactly,
you know. I've watched them before, like, we did this interview, and I was just kind of like, what?
yeah, it's silly.
Yeah.
He's a good guy as well. Like, he's really, like, he did them all in a day as well. Just like, yep, smashed them out in a day, sent them to me. I'm like, yep, thank you very much.
So obviously your answer leads on to my next question. I was going to say, have you got any merch planned for this launch?
Yeah. I got the t-shirts planned. They should be shipped over soon.
Yeah. Are they going to look as wacky as the visuals in the teasers?
I wish I could pay for more than two colours. No, but it's going to be like a little logo on the left side of the chest. And then on the back, it's going to be like those wavy vegetable things with pastel pink and white. I'm really into the pastel pink stuff right now. Really, really into it. Like the the EP cover is Pastel Pink with like the artwork on it. All the videos are based on like the pastel pink colors as well.
Yeah, it's very pastely.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, I never really liked, you know, that color before, but it's really, you know, turned to me. Like, I really want to get this guitar, the Nick Johnston signature Diamond series. And it's just, it's called Atomic Coral, but it's just a pastel pink Strat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, please. Why would I not want that? That's absolutely amazing.
Hmm.
But I'm going to try and save money instead of spend it because money. I like the color.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I guess when you buy a guitar, you want to buy a guitar that's a whole guitar. Because, like, your guitars that I've seen you play live, they don't seem to be full guitars. Like, I look at them and it's like, there's something wrong about this, but he's still playing that guitar.
Yeah. I'm really into like the headless guitar stuff right now. I wish I had more money to afford them. But I'm playing a Strandberg Metal 7 right now. And it, honestly, yeah, I've always been a Les Paul fan, like, my entire life. Mainly because, you know...
Slash
and, you know, just all, you know, Gary Moore and peeps like these, they just... I used to look up to them when I was a kid, so I'm like, well, of course I want the Les Paul. If that's what they're playing, that's what I want.
Yeah.
But, you know, growing out of that phase into, like, the more proggy stuff, I guess, I saw people playing these headless guitars. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And then I saw the neck profile. I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. I kind of want to give that a go. And I went to John Petrucci guitar camp in Long Island, New York. And they had, like, a shop called The Music Zoo. They had, like, a little setup there and had some Strandberg guitars. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to give them a go. And I didn't know how to approach them. I didn't know where to put my thumb. And I'm like, well, this is whack. I don't know what to do with this. You know, and then after that, I was looking for a 7-string to buy. I'm like, okay, so let's take a look. And I just, like, right, just get the Strandberg. Even though you tried it before and you didn't like it too much, just, you know, worst comes to worst, you can always return it and get something else. And I got it, and I'm like, oh, okay, I got it now. I finally understand. And it's the best guitar I've ever played. Like, honestly, they make such amazing instruments. Really big fan. And they just look so cool. If people say they don't, then they're just wrong. They look so cool.
That is quite an endorsement.
Yeah. I'm a very big fan of their instruments.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking currently at maybe getting the neck through us. The neck through models, but as you know, it's just money.
Money.
Yeah.
People buy his EP so that he can actually buy a new guitar.
Yeah, buy my EP.
We'll put a link up as soon as pre-orders are available.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to merch, what's the worst merch design that you've ever seen?
Oh, worst merch. I don't know, but something I don't like are patches.
You don't like patches?
I don't like patches.
Oh, wow. That's quite a turnaround, because a lot of the conversations I've been having recently, everyone loves patches.
I know, but it just doesn't tickle me right.
They don't tickle you right.
Like, I don't have anything to put them on.
Yeah.
And I quite like if I'm wearing anything like a denim jacket or like a leather jacket or anything, I quite like them plain. I don't like anything on them.
Mm.
Like, very Grease style, you know, just plain jacket. I just don't like patches. But I think anything with really bad graphic design on, with, like, you know, like, you're 10 years old and you're playing with Word Art on Microsoft Office 2003.
Yeah.
You know, that anything with that type of stuff on.
Mm.
And especially stuff that deteriorates when you wash it about 3 times.
Oh, yeah, like the cheaply made T-shirts.
Yeah,
and stuff.
It gets all crinkly. And
yeah, like the pattern starts to just completely disappear.
Yeah, and then you just end up with a nice black T-shirt.
Yeah.
You know? You know, they do become great pajamas.
Yeah, they do.
I love the John Mayer merch.
Oh, yeah.
I went to see John Mayer, like, a couple of weeks ago, and we were at the merch stands, and it was so cool.
So cool.
Yeah, I wish I could, you know, have that many options to choose from, but no, for now, we just have the one T-shirt. Yeah, and the really good quality T-shirts as well.
Good quality T-shirts, that's what you want.
Oh, definitely. Like, you need to spend that... Well, I can't right now, but when you get to a point where you need to spend a bit extra on, like, you know, nice quality fabrics and stuff, and, like, good T-shirts, because... If it doesn't feel right, people won't wear them.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, obviously the main point of merch is, hey, you know, giving something to the fans, but also marketing.
Yeah.
And if no one's wearing your merch, you've made bad merch.
Pretty much. You have to treat it like a brand.
Yeah,
you
know, like, definitely.
Like, look at Metallica now. Now they're like, you know, is it like high? They're quite a high brand, aren't they? Like high fashion sort of stuff. And I see so many people wear, like, it's not even merch now. I think it's just like a... like an actual brand.
Definitely, it's like the Rolling Stones logo. Like those lips that they've got, they're in Primark. They're in like other shops and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And they get a lot of royalties from that.
Definitely.
So. And there's also now that just hit my mind. Yeah, forget what I was about to say.
There's also that well-known. Oh no, they're not that well-known anymore.
Oh, there we go. Polyphia. Their merch is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, they have, like, a massive selection of what you can buy, like, on the online stores and stuff. And what's really cool that these artists do is that they do merch specifically just for the tour, that they sell only on the dates that they play, like, in the venue and stuff. So that's something else to look into if we ever do touring and stuff. It's still really early days, you know. It's still just the first EP, and I did a photo shoot in my room and stuff, you know.
Very DIY.
Yeah. But it's coming out okay.
Yeah.
I'm really about the marketing. The marketing's so hard. Yeah, social media is it's something to master.
Yeah, it's a tough nut to crack, speaking as someone who's, you know, done like a journalism degree.
Yeah. it's tricky.
Very tricky.
You know when they tell you, oh yeah, post something at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday. Why 6?
Yeah, it's all about knowing when your audience, in inverted commas, is online.
Oh, but like, most of the people that follow me are my family.
Oh no.
And they're not really online that much. I do get some traction. But it's mainly like friends that are following me now. I can't wait to get like wider audience if it happens.
People who you don't know enjoying your stuff.
Yeah, that would be well weird.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was doing some stuff with my mate from back home, Alexei. He's studying in RNCM. He showed the people that he was working with some of my acoustic tunes.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I went back to see him, and, like, his mates were singing them, and I'm like, what's going on? One, how do they know? And two, they like them. Ooh, they like them.
Yay.
You know, you just want people to like your stuff. Mm. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, going on what you were just saying, obviously you're from Gibraltar.
Yeah.
What's the music scene like in comparison, like different about, you know, Gibraltar versus Huddersfield?
We have a really, really good music community in Gib. You know, I love home. I love home to bits. And we have a lot of talent that needs to be cultivated and nourished and spread out to the world. Like, you know, bands like Dead City Radio, and, you know, Jesse Sampeta is doing a lot of work as well, you know, peeps from back home. And also a friend of mine, Simon Dumas, he's in a band called King Calloway, and he's doing so much stuff in the States. Like, he's played on the Late Late Show with James Corden and stuff. Yeah. It's really cool. And he also studied at RNCM, you know, as well. There's a band called Six Play, which my guitar teacher's in, and they, you know, go around doing their stuff. Also a band called Paragon. Well, they're not around anymore, but they were great. They released an EP, and they were fantastic. We have a really good music scene, very influenced by 90s grunge rock sort of stuff. But it's quite diverse as well. There's a lot of, like, folky stuff that goes on as well. You know, obviously we have a lot of, we have a massive pool of so many cultures in Gif, for such a small place.
Yeah.
So we get music from pretty much everywhere coming in. So it's good. The music scene there is good. We only have one rock venue though.
Oh no.
Yeah, because it's such a small place, and rock isn't very popular with the teenagers and like the young adults and stuff. Because they, in Gib, they're really into all the drum and bass all the raves and stuff. And we have a lot of DJs. And, you know, we have, like, so many festivals, like the Songwriter Festival. We have the Gibraltar Music Festival, which I was happy to play in 2015, I think it was.
Right.
And they played on both days with two different bands. My band called Midriff back then, and a band called Another Day, which was a Guns N' Roses tribute act. So I was slashed for about 10 minutes on stage. It was great. And we have, like, the Tech Music Festival. You know, and the people pushing boundaries are like a friend of mine called Vulgarithm. You know, you should check him out if you can, with like really heavy drum and bass sort of stuff. But if we compare it to Huds, I don't really know much of the music scene in Huds. I know the uni music scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really great. It's just hard to find a lot of bands from around here.
A lot of them do tend to be like the student bands and stuff who like you'll see playing either like Parish or, you know, Northern Quarter, Small Seeds, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It is Small Seeds, yeah. I got confused then because I was about to refer to it as Bar 122. You know, that's how long I've been here.
I don't even know where that is. the bar 1-2-2-3.
It's what
well, it used to be called.
Before so. Small Seeds, it was bar 1-2-2, and it had been bar 1-2-2 for years. And then, like, there was a rumor that it was going to shut down, and then it turned out to just be, you know, like a complete rebrand, and, you know, they put a tree in the middle of the venue and stuff. It was crazy.
The tree is so cool, though.
The tree is so cool. Yeah.
It kind of gets in the way of when you want to watch the artist and you're at the bar. But still, it's quite sick. Love Small Seats. I played that venue once.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. I haven't been to Northern Court yet, you know.
Have you not?
No, I've been meaning to, but so many things.
It is
things.
A nice little venue. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen some vids and stuff, and like Charlie Hula.
Yeah,
he's a very talented boy. Very good songwriter. But yeah, my main venue here is just Parish.
Yeah.
The Sugar Hill Gang played Parish as well.
Yeah, that's just so weird.
Yeah.
Like, Parish is great because it gets some, you know, like, really, like, strangely high profile or just, like, really old but not known, like, artists. And then sometimes, you know, it's just got, you know, like, this band called Vallejo are playing there in November. You know, like, who are they?
Yeah, no one knows. And they got a top loader to play as well.
Like, yeah.
I wish I went for that, but I was back home.
You know, you could have been dancing in the moonlight.
I could have been, yeah. Well, probably no moonlight considering the amount of clouds and rain we get here.
Yeah, that's true. What's the weather like in Gibraltar?
Oh, good. It's good. Yeah, a lot better than it is here. It's like, something I miss about home the most is being able to look out my window and I see, you know, the sea.
Yeah.
You know, I really love living next to water. I love going to the beach. I was brought up on it. When you're brought up on it, you're going to like it, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just in love with back home, but right now I need to stay here.
Are you sure you're not writing pop punk music, you know, with the amount you're going on about home?
Yeah, very sure. I you know, I've never really written about home.
Have you not?
No.
Maybe something to think about for EP2.
Oh, maybe. No matter how much I love being home, being away from home, the independence as well is really fun. Yeah, it's when I first came to uni, it was a massive, massive, like, learning curve, you know, really steep learning curve. Because first time living alone, first time having to, you know, cook for yourself, really. Because, you know, my granny and my mum, they always used to cook for me. And they still do. Like, they're coming for the gig.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're going to bring food for me. So.
Win-win.
Yeah, that, you know.
Guaranteed audience, guaranteed food.
Yeah, that's the, what more can you ask for?
I'm not really sure there's much more you can ask for, to be honest.
Well, mate, there might be one thing. Please buy my EP and T-shirts. That's another couple of things I could ask for.
Yeah, there is that.
Nah, but yeah, I do miss home, but I don't think I can write about it. I don't really, like, when I write the instrumental stuff, I don't really have anything I'm writing about. It's sort of just how I'm feeling at the time I'm writing it. I notice a lot of the time when I'm just writing for the sake of writing, it's bland and... You know, I think it was Picasso that said, inspiration finds you while you're working.
Oh, yeah.
But if it doesn't find you, then...
You know, you're just making stuff by the numbers.
Yeah. So, like, you have to be quite passionate about whatever you're writing for it to be good. But, you know, that being said, I find, like, a really weird disconnect between me and my material sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, they're just songs. That's it. But yeah, like the singer-songwriter stuff that I write, I can't sing, right?
Oh, me neither.
But we write them.
We write them.
You know, I have more of a connection with them than I do these tunes. It's a bit weird.
So, you know, what was your favourite gig you've ever been to?
Been to? Oh, my favourite.
Or one that stands out.
One that stands out was when I went to see Meshuggah.
Meshuggah?
Yeah. I went with my friend Owen, and that was silly. That was just a two-hour mosh pit.
A two-hour mosh pit?
It was insane, and I had a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Guns N' Roses in London, and it wasn't, like, my favourite gig, but it stands out because it kind of, like, you know, 11-year-old Alex was there at the front.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he came out, and he had a great time. I saw Andy McKee as well. Andy McKee is another one that stands out. He is... an incredible inspiration, you know, for me. He just, the stuff he writes and what he, and how he plays, and just him as a person, he's just such a lovely man. Like, Rylan is one of my favorite pieces of music ever. I don't think anything can top it, in my mind at least.
Yeah.
And that tune, especially like the ending, inspires so many of my endings, even though they're complete polar opposites.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that sort of like home feeling.
Hmm.
Like you're back home, but it's kind of different. I don't know how to explain it, but it's a bit of a weird one. Explaining the writing process is just so difficult, because I used to ask that all the time, like in this guitar camp thing. I saw Andy then, like, how do you write? And he's like, just do. You know, it's really difficult to describe step by step. I'm sure, like, if I sat down writing down what I did, how I did it, then yeah, all the info would be there.
Mm.
But no, it's just really difficult to describe it sometimes. It just happens.
It just happens.
Yeah, just like, oh, this sounds cool.
Yeah.
That's it, really.
Yeah, I mean, I guess with instrumental music as well, that's all you need. Like, because it's not like, you know, you need lyrics to then follow. So, like, all the lyrics have got to make sense or then, like, you know, follow on from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you can just make stuff that sounds cool
mm-hmm.
and then make more stuff that sounds cool to follow after the stuff that already sounds cool.
Defo. That's pretty much it. As long as, like, they're linked together, it makes sense, you know. That's, you know, that's what's important, that everything flows. And also, being instrumental music, you can't just play, you know, you have to really express what the music is through your playing with, like, the little subtleties and stuff. Like, Nick Johnston's a great example. You know, he has a tune called Weakened by Winter, and he comes in with that little guitar motif. I'm just like, oh, that's absolutely, it's beautiful. You know, like, you need to have, like, a tremendous amount of feel and a certain, like, connection with the material to really express it, which makes it more interesting than just a person playing the notes.
Yeah.
You know?
And I feel like it's one of those things that the audience, like, especially when it's being played live, will be able to appreciate, because, you know, they'll be able to see from the way that you're playing things that you're feeling it. You know, like, it's all about facial expressions, or, you know, like, not just sort of being stood there emotionless, like, just sort of looking out, you know.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, because I am very much a person that's emotionless and looking out. But when I do play the solos and stuff, you know, I do, you know, you do tend to lose yourself sometimes. And other times it's just, you know, like, every show is unique, I guess. And sometimes they work for you, and sometimes you're just going by the motions. But either way, you're acting on stage. So I don't think the audience can ever really tell when it's real or not. But if it's real for them, that's all that matters.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think in this gig, because some of the parts are a little bit tricky, I'm just going to be, like, looking at Josh, like, did I get it right? John, was that okay? So, yeah, I'm quite nervous for the gig, in all honesty.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, the audience has not heard this stuff yet.
No.
They won't know if you're playing it correct or not, so just, you know,
and it's my first ever gig as well.
Is, like, it your first ever, like, solo gig?
Yeah, I've never done anything with this project before.
Wow.
This would be the very first one, and I have a great band with me, which really helps calm the nerves, because I trust them. Yeah, like, I've played loads before.
Yeah, I've seen you play live before.
Yeah,
I saw you in Astragos, I think.
Oh, yeah, Astragos. Yeah, it was like that uni band for the prog stuff. That was really interesting, because with, like, the Tesseract covers and all that, it really gets you to play tighter than you would normally play if you're, like, you know, a shreddy guitar boy.
Yeah.
It was really good fun. But as well, like, because I wasn't the main focus, I didn't... If I messed up, it wasn't too bad of a problem.
Mm.
And there was always Luke there who would just play the parts right if I didn't. And I would play the parts right if he didn't. But being, like, the main focus of a project, I've never had that experience.
You're going to be stood center stage.
Center stage, and having to put a show on and all that stuff.
Yeah. You
know? Move about, shake my head a bit, and be like, oh, wasn't that fun?
So when you are playing live, you know, like, are you going to have a microphone to talk to the audience and stuff, or are you just going to, you know, start playing?
I'll have a mic.
You'll have a mic.
Yeah, like, what I love most about shows is when you see how, you know, the artist is a real person.
Yeah.
It's like when I saw Andy McKee and he was, like, telling us, it's very much like in the percussive acoustic stuff that they do. Yeah, they do tell stories in between songs and stuff. I'm not going to be telling stories.
No.
But it's more like that, like, yep, he's speaking.
Yeah,
he's
the interaction, you know.
Like, it's important, and you grasp them, don't you? You grasp your audience.
Like, I've been at gigs before, like, when I'm talking about audience interaction, the gig that always comes to mind for me is I went to see Kings of Leon, and I saw them and there was almost like no crowd interaction whatsoever.
Oh,
which
yeah.
turned, you know, like it turned me off like straight away, really. Mm-hmm. Like that's always one of the things like I sort of love, because, you know, it's like it shows that they care, that the audience is having a good time rather than just standing there and going through the motions and just, you know, playing the songs as quickly as possible to just get them out of the way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of my least favorite gigs I've been to.
Yeah, they played the festival that I played in back home, the Gibraltar Music Festival. They played it as well in the same days. I'm like, oh, I'm so excited to see these guys. And yeah, like what you said, they just didn't. It was just bland, really. Yeah. You know,
it was almost like, you know, just listening to the CD but with the gain turned up a bit.
Yeah, pretty much. I only went for like two songs. Mm. Use Somebody and Sex Is On Fire, I think.
Yeah.
I was like, yep, got those two out of the way.
The two biggest songs, basically.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, they're big, so they must be good. And then the live performance was just a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
I saw Weezer, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Weezer was great.
Yeah.
That's when, like, 14-year-old Alex came out and was like, let's go. And they had really good crowd interaction. Like, that was a very powerful gig.
Yeah.
You know, and people be like, "Whoa, it's Weezer." I'm like, yep, it's Weezer. Go see them live. Do it. They're playing Huddersfield, aren't they?
They are. I'm going to see them.
Oh, I need to get my tickets.
It's Green Day, Weezer, Fall Out Boy, and The Interrupters are the special guests.
Oh, I've never heard of The Interrupters.
The Interrupters. They're like a sort of ska punk band. Oh, okay. You know, fronted by a very powerful woman. You know, it's what you want these days, you know.
Oh, definitely.
I saw them supporting Green Day the last time I saw Green Day, Manchester Arena 2017, I think it was. Might be 2016, one or two.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, they were, you know, Green Day were obviously amazing at the time. And The Interrupters, you know, I was just kind of like, oh, you know, like, going into the gig, I wasn't, you know, I just listened to them because, you know, you listen to the support bands, so you have an essence of familiarity. You know, when they started playing, I was like, nah, these guys are good.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm so glad I get to see them play again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You need to go to see the support bands.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, okay, I'm going to go for the main act alone. Because if the main act like the support band enough for them to play,
yeah,
you just need to check them out. And it's good for them as well. You know, like, they get a bigger audience, a bigger fan base. Maybe you might buy their merch. You might even like them more than the headliner.
Yeah, I've been to gigs before where, like, the first support act is the one that's blown me away the most.
Yeah. If it's a good support band, they will impact you, and you will go home and you will listen to them.
Yeah. Who's supporting you again?
Just Suppose.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them before.
And there is another band on the works.
A special guest,
thus far. There are bands that are in my mind. It's just getting them. I wanted to get Creative of Destroy to play. But Pete lives in Leeds, and he's played for me, and he also plays for CED. So
that'd be quite an exhausting night for people.
Yeah, it will be exhausting. So it's just like, you know what, just play for me because I need you more. Please.
Well, you know, I'm sure it'll be a very fun night nonetheless.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. I'm really excited. And Parish is just a good place to be, really.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with a Parish gig.
No, you can't. No.
All their food.
Oh, the food is so good.
The food is so good.
Yeah.
Like, the day I had those curly fries just changed my life forever.
They're really good.
But yeah, so 12th of November, Parish, Tuesday night. Get down and see Vallejo, spotted by Just Suppose and another special guest. You know, buy some merch, buy the EP. Is it going to be physical copies or is it just online only?
I hope so.
You hope so?
I hope so. I can't say 100% yet. But if they won't be available at the gig, they will be available soon after.
That's a good sign. So, you know, where can people find you? Like, if they want to find you online, what's your, you know, handles and stuff?
My Instagram handle is Alex Vallejo Music, VALLEJO, because no one knows how to spell my surname whenever I pronounce it. On Facebook, it's just Alex Vallejo. You might pop up with my profile. It's quite difficult to find the page, but if you just search Alex Vallejo Music with no spaces, you'll probably get it. And then you'll be able to find me as Alex Vallejo on Spotify and Apple Music and Bandcamp and Tidal and any other place that DistroKid distributes my music to. So, yeah.
Go and check him out.
Please.
Oh, thanks for being on the podcast.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah, and I wish you luck with the launch of your debut EP.
Oh, thank you. It's going to be wild.
You're listening to Fresh from the Scene with Ruby Price.
Thank you for listening. Make sure you check out Alex at the Parish in Huddersfield on the 12th of November. Don't forget to share this podcast on social media, and if you have time, why not leave a review? You can find me online at FFTScene and at Rubes. And I'll see you in the next podcast. Thank you. Goodbye.